21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus, not Dr. Bob this week. It's my turn. Laura Kortner is our executive producer, and Regis Tucker runs our board. Joining us this portion of 21st Century Radio is Dr. Carl Kalaman. He's a physical biologist, professor, and author of The Purposeful Universe, How Quantum Theory and Mayan Cosmology Explain the Origin and Evolution of Life, a Bear & Company 2009 release. Now, our audience knows I read a lot of books for 21st Century Radio that are in some way connected to the quantum physics labs and their studies. Here, too, we find the Mayans, like the ancient Hebrews and Sumerians before them, understood a great deal about the creation of life and its evolution that our modern era is only now coming to appreciate. Kalaman shows us that there's been a primary loss in general, which is our understanding of our connectedness, a loss of appreciating that intelligent design is seen through octaves and hierarchies. What we're going to find out is how the Mayans knew this and why we can understand it better today. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Kalaman.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you again, I should say.
But yeah, well, your book is remarkably stunning. It definitely turns the old-fashioned notions of evolution on its head and does so in such an elegant way. So let me first ask you how you got interested, first as a physical biologist, in the Mayan calendar.
Yes. Okay, well, it's a story that goes fairly far back. I started out as a graduate student in chemistry biology in 1974. And at some point in my studies and in my early research, I saw a on a bulletin board at the University of Stockholm, where I was working, little ad telling you that you could go to Mexico, learn the Spanish language, and stay in a Mexican family. And that attracted me for something, you know, from some odd reason that I really don't know, except that maybe this is what's really the purpose of my life from the beginning. And so I went there, and I spent 5 weeks as a backpacker in Mexico and Guatemala, and felt that I really was very connected to this land. It felt like just by being there, I felt my life had a purpose. And it took me a long time to really see exactly what that would mean. Now I can understand it because I've been working with the Mayan calendar for 20 years or so. But at that time, it was somewhat of an interesting, what should I say, conflict, you might say, because I've been trained then in the school of thought of academic biology, where life is basically said to be an accident. I don't know if that's clearly spelled out always, but that is really what the Darwinist theory of evolution is. Is life is an accident, and we are not really here for a purpose, but because our species has been somehow successful in outcompeting other species, which doesn't sound like a very high purpose to be here for. But just the fact that I got down there made me feel strongly that there is a purpose, and just intuitively I sensed that they knew something here. Already then I heard about the so-called end of the Mayan calendar and became fascinated with it. And already that implies that maybe there is some kind of a plan, a time plan, which they had been charting. And It took me then that sort of those two influences in my background is what I've been dealing with through my work.
Well, it's really beautiful. It's a very elegant telling. Bob and I have both interviewed, obviously, a variety of scholars on the Mayan calendar and what 2012 means, but I think you've taken it to a level very few have, which is to appreciate that evolution is connected, as you say, to the central axis of our universe, and it's important to understanding our own planet and others in the galaxy. So why don't we try to sort of run through at a rather, not a fast clip, but a general pace, because I want the audience to appreciate that you have really shared what the Mayan elder teachings have left to impart our society, and that we're at an important stage of consciousness that can use it and embody its meaning. So tell us about the central axis of our universe.
Well, it's something that has been part of the mythology of the Maya, or what we call the mythology, and not actually only of the Maya, but if you go to Sumeria, or as you mentioned earlier, or if you go to the biblical tradition, or if you go to the Scandinavian ancient tradition, you will see here that they talked about something they called the Tree of Life in a very central position. Like what brings creation about? It's usually not talked about as God, as the same thing as God, but it's still some kind of a metaphysical principle or intelligence that they all in ancient times would relate to, the Tree of Life, and it's been lost essentially in modern times. We have for a couple of hundred years, it's really not been part of our worldview. We've heard about it, mostly. We've heard about it, that the ancients would talk about the Tree of Life, and that in the Christian tradition or the Jewish tradition, there was also a Tree of Life, which had these aspects of being a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Something that had a profound influence on creation. Now, this Tree of Life, you hear different explanations to what it may be in these recent discussions, for instance, of the Mayan calendar. And it's correct, I would say, to say that the polar axis of our planet, that is one level of the Tree of Life. And you can say the central axis around which our entire galaxy revolves, that is also a Tree of Life. But then, as I've been writing my books about this topic, in 2004, for instance, and even earlier, I said there must also be a Tree of Life on the largest level possible, which would be a level that encompasses the entire universe, like a cosmic Tree of Life that is the ultimate source, which sort of trickles down to the lower levels where we are living our lives and experiencing our lives.
Which, of course, is the premise of all Hermetic teachings, and all sacred societies teach the basic as above, so below. If we see it in the cell, we should expect it to reflect the galaxy. And so when the ancient Mayans talk about the Tree of Life, or as you speak of the heart of heaven, that it's a real form with real energies from which all life springs. And I think the beautiful way in which you show that these are connected levels of the universe, the galaxy, the solar system, the planet, the biological organism, the cell, and finally the atom are all implicit within this cosmic order. Is that the right way to say that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't say better. It's exactly like that. It's like a holographic model. At all these levels, the Tree of Life is somehow a mirror of what exists as at a higher level, the Hermetic principle, as you're saying, that everything at a micro level is somehow created in the image of a higher macro level, and that seems to be how it's all created, and the beauty of that creation is that in that way, everything will not only be connected, which of course is important, but it's also that it will all somehow, the overall framework will be provided at the very highest level. And so everything, every system that is created at the lower level will fit as a part of that and somehow also be constrained, because otherwise there wouldn't be any working system. Our body wouldn't be, unless there was some kind of a definition of what a human being is through our own tree of life. We're each one of us is a reflection of the tree of life. Then it wouldn't function so marvelously as the human body does.
Right. So then it also suggests that self-awareness is implicit with cosmic design, and that there is this manifest purpose of humanity to be co-creator, to be witness. And as you point out, I mean, it's just an amazing science. I started to say mythology, but it's not really mythology. It's a spiritual science. And you say that in the Mayan calendar, when they look at the science of space-time, they say that we have 9 underworlds, and each 9 underworld has 13 heavens.
Yes.
So now, why are these numbers important? I mean, I have to tell you, I had a favorite page in your book. I think it was page 48, which is a table. Yes. And in the table, you have applied the Mayan calendar to the sort of unfolding of humanity's awareness relative to from the cellular to the universal. So if you could make clear, because I'm certainly not capable of explaining the Mayan calendar, the uniqueness of their counting system and why it has so much to do with quantum physics.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes, I'm looking here at the table at page 48. I think to begin with, we should realize that time in their world is different from time in our own world. We have become used to see time as something you measure mechanically. For instance, with a watch or some kind of a digital device that gives you the time in a linear fashion. That they practiced as well to some extent. They did keep a track of the cycle of the year and so forth. But what they also did, and that's sort of what they added, which is very significant, is that they kept track of a time with qualities, you might say spiritual qualities. And they would symbolize these qualities. That could be symbolized, for instance, with a bird or a deity or a tree or some kind of a symbol, a glyph, or typical symbols. And what they are telling us by using such symbols is that different time periods have different qualities. Spiritual qualities, I think, is the best way of putting it. And that as time progresses, it goes through these different qualities of time. And each quality of time brings certain kind of phenomena to the world. Because these qualities, these spiritual qualities, they influence our mind, how we look upon the world, and how we create the world. And the same is true for the biological evolution. These qualities of time tended to create certain kind of species, and other times there would be extinctions of species, because there could be a quality of time that was simply destructive of the old, and in order to prepare for something new to come later. So that's the first thing to know. This is a quite unique, worldwide unique timekeeping system, where you actually keep track of the qualities irregardless of any mechanical timekeeping.
Mm-hmm. But as you show in another table, these time periods of the Mayan underworlds, I mean, they can last from 1.26 billion years to 18 days. Yeah. So that it's so that time is a much bigger cycle of unfolding, as you point out, of things co-arising and then disappearing or being destroyed. And so we're going to take a little break. But when we come back, I'd like to go a little bit more into detail about this sense of time and then to talk to us a bit about why this popular story that the Mayan calendar is ending. And if it's not an ending, what is it a beginning of? We'll be right back. If you've just tuned in, Dr. Carl Kalaman is our guest. His amazing book, really, if you want to really have a new look on the world and our place in it, The Purposeful Universe, How Quantum Theory and Mayan Cosmology Explain the Origin and Evolution of Life. You can also go to Kalaman, Kalaman.com.
You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Zoe and Bob Hieronymus. My name is Stefan Schwartz. It's my pleasure to be here. You're going to hear interesting conversation on this that you won't hear elsewhere. And you can find my work on www.schwartzreport.net or www.explorejournal.com/content/Schwartz. 21st Century Radio is leading this conversation of what a conscious world will look like.
Amen to that from Brother Stefan. Our guest currently is Dr. Carl Kalaman. I'm Zoe Hieronymus, and his book, The Purposeful Universe, How Quantum Theory and Mayan Cosmology Explain the Origin and Evolution of Life. Of course, all of our guests have a link right on our front page at www.21st21stcenturyradio.com. So, Carl, there's no way in an hour's time I can do justice to what is obviously a lifetime of study of many disciplines, biology, Mayan calendars, evolution, spiritual understandings. But I want to try to get to some of the basics, because much of the media is about hype and fear. And so a lot of fear-mongering has been utilizing the quote-unquote end of the Mayan calendar theme. So tell us, what is really happening with the Mayan calendar as of this December 2012?
Okay. Yes. Let me first say, though, one thing you asked that I didn't complete. It's about how does quantum theory come into this?
Oh, yes, of course.
And basically, whenever there is a shift between these different qualities of time, you may talk about a quantum shift. And this is interesting from the perspective of biological evolution, because it's always been, for a long time, it's been an important conflict where, according to the Darwinist theory, all biological evolution should really be gradual and slow.
Right.
But what has been known for 100 years is that that's not what it looks like when you look at the fossil record. Instead, it looks like there are times when there is quite an expansion of an emergence of many different new species. And then there are times when they suddenly disappear. And then there is a sort of like quantum shift. There's not a slow evolution, biologically speaking, but often a species just seems to appear more or less with very few preceding forms. And this idea that there are qualitatively different periods of time could explain exactly why there is this sudden appearance mm-hmm. of new species.
And of course, that's the brilliance of your work, is lining these two themes up, the Mayan calendar sense of time periods and your expertise as a biologist, a physical biologist.
Yes.
So I guess that's why I was so taken with Table 2-2, which is, it really lays those two things out. So coming back then to these larger cycles of time, the evolution of species and this time period.
Yes. Well, there are, as you said, there are 9 different levels, 9 evolutionary processes, you might say, that each build upon each other. So that's why the Maya would often build pyramids in 9 levels, where each level would build on a lower level. That sort of prepared the ground for the next level. And each of these levels developed by a sequence of 13 qualitatively different time periods. And they not completely without a pattern. They actually follow quite a strict pattern that you may refer to as 7 days and six nights, which is really taken from the Bible, but you find the same ideas in the Mayan tradition as well. So there are 9 levels, each of which is developed like this. And the only Mayan inscription that we have from ancient times, because it was only in ancient times that this calendar system was used. It has not been used for the past 1,000 years or so. And the only such inscription that we have is an inscription called Tortuguero Monument Number 6. And what this says is that there will be a time, I say October 28, 2011, most people say December 21, 2012, when all of these 9 levels will be sort of completed. They have all gone through 13 steps.
And so before you go further, for those that don't have the benefit that I do of having read your book to the degree I could in this week and looking at this chart, so there's the cellular, the mammalian, the anthropod, the human, then the regional, then the national, then the planetary, then the galactic, and then the universal. So we start back with the Big Bang or first matter with the cellular and come up to March 8th, 211 last year to the universal.
Yeah.
So all of these have now come into alignment, you're saying, each of these underworld time periods?
Have all expressed 13 steps, mm-hmm. I would say. The 9th level is the highest one. But let me just clarify that this whole idea that if you go to the internet, and of course, if you go and watch this movie 2012,
right.
They say the Maya said that the world will come to an end. And that is just pure lying. I mean, there's nothing in the Mayan inscriptions that say that they believe that the world would come to an end. It has no foundation whatsoever. But somehow, for some reason, this is how many people are wired, mm-hmm. and so it appeals to people's sense of drama and sensationalism and so forth to believe that. But mm-hmm. it's not true. But what they said then, the only inscription we have from ancient times is that 9 evolutionary processes will be sort of they will be synchronized in our own time. And this is where we're living right now. And
so rather than, before you go further, so that it's really a flowering, this is really a great time of distinction that is not necessarily destruction, not destruction in the sense we think of it.
It's not destruction. And the next thing, in order to understand what this might bring, is to look at the each of these levels, each of these 9 levels. It brings a different kind of a veil to the human experience of reality. It brings a certain kind of a filter to how humans experience reality. And these different filters have been different in these different waves. And for this reason, people have been different. Mm-hmm. We tend to be the way we look upon the world, that we recreate a world outside of self consistent with the kind of filter that we have on our perception of reality. And so there has been a time for about 5,000 years, especially, when we've been dominated by a special filter, one that essentially has shut out our right brain half. You might say the holistic brain half, or the female brain half, some would say. And instead, it has been so that we've been looking at reality through the left brain half, which is the more analytical, the more maybe even invasive brain half. What's happening now is that on top of that, these 5,000 years, and it's easy to see how many religions, for instance, in these 5,000 years have been created that have like a patriarchal way of looking at the world, simply because people in the time when those religions were conceived, they were looking through the world through a filter that made them filter out half of themselves, the half that is the right brain half, the holistic brain half, and so forth. That's, as you say, that's a long story, but it's a very, very fascinating story. And what I'm saying here is we really have to get rid of that whole idea that we're just a physical being that hasn't changed over this time, because our mind has changed according to a certain time plan. And as our mind has changed, so has the world we have created, and so has the world, the way we have been looking at ourselves have been changing. And that's the really fundament of the Mayan calendar. And it's from that insight that we have different filters in different time periods that we may understand what is now about to come.
Well, and what you say is that the national or higher civilizations, which was written language, major construction, historical religions, goes back to June 17th, 3115 BCE, that planetary or industrialism, materialism, democracy, republics, electricity, etc., began July 24th, 1755, and that the galactic began January 5th, 1999, and you have this initiating event as IT civilizations, information technology, galaxy, I'd say ET connection. And then you have this one we're entering now that we're in, the universal, March 8th, 2011, the oneness field. So that there's an awareness, and I would definitely say that 21st Century Radio has basically cataloged this with a variety of phenomenal men, women, and sometimes children, and sometimes animals, who speak of this oneness and unity consciousness. So what does that have to do with the culture of Maya and the calendar and the Tree of Life together?
Well, I look upon the ancient Maya as I do as any people who were living in this particular patriarchal era. So I don't look upon them as some kind of a people that had no faults or where everything was peaceful and ideal or so forth. It was pretty much like many other civilizations on our planet. Mm-hmm. That they had, they were the ones that happened to have the specific knowledge about time that the rest of the world, I say, now should learn something about, because it is very important in order to understand who we are and why we are here and where things are going. Excuse me, you asked me to connect something else.
Yeah, if you can connect, because when we come to the Maya culture, as you just pointed out, like other cultures at that time period, they weren't necessarily evolved in the sense of maybe how they treated women or each other, but they had a sense of time that for this time period now is being given over. I mean, there are many serious scholars studying the Maya calendar, and you have applied to it an understanding of quantum and biology, so that you say, for instance, you know, people will often say today, oh, time is speeding up. And you point out that linear time is not speeding up, but what is this evolutionary process, which is speeding up. We'll skip my other question. It's just too symbolic. So how does this get experienced by humanity? I mean, when you look ahead, I'm writing a book about the future of human experience, and I'd love to include your perception. How do you see this impacting us now and in the near future?
Yeah, well, basically, we talked about 9 levels, and each one in 13 steps. But then there is the other factor, and which is that each of these levels is developed by a frequency of these shifting energies that is 20 times higher than the one it stands upon. And what this means is that the different frequency, the different waves of evolution with different frequencies have been sequentially activated, you might say, so that the first wave, every one of these 13 time periods would be 1.25 billion years, a tremendously long time with a very, very, very slow development, you might say. Now, the highest wave, which was activated last year, it has a time period of 18 comma days. So it's just an incredible acceleration of time. That
so it's come and gone. So those 18 days from March 8th plus 18 to the 26th of 2011 have come and gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but what this means is that change has been accelerating at least up until next year. What I'm saying now is that the ninth level is here to stay. It was activated last year, and it has the highest frequency of any wave of evolution in the universe. And so there will not be any more acceleration of time as far as I understand it. We attained the highest speed of change last year. And now this will be staying here. And this particular wave is the one that is bringing a shift in our consciousness so that the veils are taken away. The filters that I mentioned earlier are taken away. And it's especially those filters that have been, for some time now, have been preventing us from experiencing the spiritual reality fully.
Mm-hmm.
And time has been accelerating, and now it's attained the highest frequency of the universe. And as I expect, it will not accelerate further. If anything, we will see time periods where things will be slowing down. But what I think is the crucial message to be aware of in our own time is that the ninth level, which brings this shift, takes away the veils, is here to stay. And it will be here to help humanity transform into a more, to an experience of unity with all things living, into an experience that the ancient peoples even did not have, of being, well, maybe earlier people had it, before the civilization, before the patriarchal civilization, there might be have been a unity experience of the time that is now coming back. But this is, it's here to stay. We've attained this highest frequency of the universe, and now I think our task is to, without throwing out the good things of the civilization that has created, but still to transform ourselves in such a way where we can really see the unity with all things living, with the divine and with nature. And in that way, I expect over a time period, maybe 20, 30 years or something like that, we will come to a world that really looks much better than it does today.
Amen to that. You know, I have to say, it's so interesting how many of us from so many different walks of life have come to the same unity consciousness theme.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I've studied the Kabbalistic tree of life for the last 10 years very intensively. And the outcome of all my studies was, of course, unity consciousness. So we're going to take a little break, then we'll come back. Carl, you do such a magnificent job, and I really encourage our audience to read your book, The Purposeful Universe. It's a Baron Company 2009 release. Go to Kalleman, Kalleman.com.
Is is Andrew Fellows, Chesapeake Regional Director for Clean Water Action. You can find information at cleanwateraction.org or cleanwaterfund.org. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Dr. Carl Kalaman is with us. His book, The Purposeful Universe, How Quantum Theory and Mayan Cosmology Explain the Origin and Evolution of Life. So, Carl, not to complicate things, but might as well, we're almost finished. What does the soul of the human being have to do with all of this? I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Yes. The soul of the human being, I think, is metaphysical. I look upon it as a metaphysical entity. It's a part of God, more or less. Mm-hmm. Each one, the soul would be the name of our individual part of God. I think that's how I would put it. So I believe that human beings have souls. And that's the experience of many people as well. I think the overwhelming majority of humanity looks upon it that way.
And though, how does this relate to, you constantly talk about, though we haven't yet, about DNA and cellular intelligence and waveforms, that everything is really connected through, as you say, from the cosmic tree of life?
I think what happens when a human being is conceived is that from the tree of life is emanated a wave, what you might call a waveform. Another word for that, which is less scientific, is to talk about a spirit or a soul. Mm-hmm. That is when a human being is conceived, the conceived egg will attract a soul. And then it will; they will evolve together, all from a certain plan, from a certain outline created by the tree of life. It's a big question, and there's so many aspects to it. But I do think that the theory that I'm presenting in this, the purposeful universe, it does include, in a very meaningful way, the existence of a soul. So I'm not saying that the soul is just something that is some kind of an accidental byproduct of the body. No, I think fundamentally we are souls, but then when we are, when the tree of life emanates us, or when we are attached to a conceived egg, then we start to develop the body together with that particular soul.
It is so interesting when you study the Hermetic wisdom teachings, when they talk about groups of humans, groups of souls recycling throughout the ages of humanity, and that so many of us who are alive today have been together at different epic periods for a particular kind of work. So you might have a group of scientists who come in together, a group of artists, or a group of athletes. And so when we look at this individuation, meaning every soul is uniquely different because every cell is uniquely different, so we're ultimately talking about a vibratory reality of life. Because you talk about waveforms, and the Mayans show us that these cycles and these heavens and these underworlds are particular archetypal states, which are states of beingness, states of vibration. So how does a human being change their own vibration?
Well, I don't know. I prefer to look at, when it comes to human change, mm-hmm. I prefer to look at it in terms of these sort of shifts in filters. You know, I think still at our particular time, it's good if we are able to somehow get some kind of a tangible vision of in what direction we'd like to change ourselves, if we do. But I think the way things are will develop, I think we will have to change.
Right.
For instance, there are some people saying that using the word higher consciousness, and I don't use that word because, first of all, I don't know if consciousness can be ranked, and secondly, mm-hmm. I don't even know what it would mean. But I do know what it means. At least to me, it means something to take away a veil to shift in such a way that I have an experience of the unity of all things, of being the cosmos, you might say. And that's why I'm, rather than changing a frequency that I don't necessarily tangible understanding of.
Interesting.
I would rather say we should, at this point in time, should look for these avenues that we might find to shift to unity consciousness, which you also mentioned earlier, and many traditions do. And that to me, that is more tangible. So
mm-hmm. Well, it's just so interesting because sometimes a society will take a general concept and mutate it into something else. And you'll often hear the general sort of New Age community talking about shifting consciousness rather than our changing how we behave. And that by acting in a way that we understand to be our highest purpose changes everything. And when any one of us changes, we change the universe. And I suspect sometimes humans don't like the responsibility of understanding to what degree our words, thoughts, and actions are actually affecting the entire universe. And so I think you've done an exquisite job, and I don't feel like I can do justice literally in an hour interview to the complexity and yet elegant simplicity that you've brought to all these different fields of study. Is there something, Carl, that I haven't given you an opportunity to talk about you'd like to close with in the last few minutes?
Well, I first of all, I want to thank you for making the interview around this book, The Purposeful Universe. Generally has had less attention than my previous book, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. And the reason I'm happy about this particular book is that there has been for a long time been this kind of conflict. We're talking about 150 years, essentially between Darwinists and often fundamentalist creationists. Much of the debates that those two camps, if you like, have had has really been about finding faults in the others. In other words, the creationists have sort of found faults in the Darwinist view and sort of how it doesn't recognize any processes that seems to have some kind of a metaphysical origin. And the Darwinists have been finding faults in the creationist side, that where some people are even denying that there's been going on an evolution. And my book, I must say, is not about finding faults. Of course, I outline how my view differs from both of these camps, but it's really not about fault finding. It's really about presenting an alternative, a theory that encompasses, that includes all the scientific facts that tells us that there has been an evolution. But yet, it sees that this is not a random evolution. It really has a purpose. Life is the reason there is a universe to begin with is that it's here to create life, ourselves in particular. And we may not ever come to a point where we said this was the purpose. We are now at the end of the road. I don't think so, and I hope not. But yet, it's very important to know that there is a purpose, that we appear just by some whim of nature. And I think I'm grateful to you for having highlighted this particular book, because it does provide something that makes sense of many biological phenomena in a way that also includes the spirit.
And it's beautiful in the way that you have put into alignment what we know in biological sciences and what the Mayans understood through their own lens. And when you look at the two together, it's such a compelling story because it also shows, like so many guests that we've had on 21st Century Radio over the years, that there are these leaps in evolution, that everything doesn't just unfold from a single cell amoeba, and that there are different kinds of species simultaneously occurring that maybe don't have, as you point out, a history archaeologically. And so there's something much bigger that we're part of than just our silly little political games and I wants and I don't wants. But you've just done a beautiful job, Carl, and I think that in the centuries to come, people will really appreciate the beauty of what you've brought together in a synthesis.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really just a stunning addition, and I'm so glad we had an opportunity to talk. You know, one of the things I want to encourage my audience to do is when you go read this book, The Purposeful Universe, the charts in it summarize literally a lifetime of study and lifetimes before that, so that you can appreciate that the ancients understood something that's really being given over to us to use today, and that there is a link between all of us, as Dr. Kalaman says, and this is a sacred time period. So again, go to Dr. Kalaman's website, www.kalaman.com, and get a copy of his book, The Purposeful Universe, How Quantum Theory and Mayan Cosmology Explain the Origin and Evolution of Life.
Things are gonna be just fine if we only will. All I really mean to say is shower the
stimulating talk around the clock and breaking news now on Talk Radio.